You're listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a podcast where we explore what it's like getting older, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between. In this season of Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, we're covering topics related to solo aging. I'm your host, Cheryl Proska. Let's grow old together. On today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Neil Patel, Chief Health Officer at Patina, a new model of primary care for adults 65 plus that reimagines the journey of aging through virtual and home-based care. Patina is building a healthcare experience for older adults that honors the wisdom they've accumulated and how they want to experience aging and care. At Patina, Dr. Neil is part of a crew that will listen, learn, and honors patients' expertise, helping them be true leaders in their own care. Prior to joining Patina, Dr. Neil helped found Iora Health, an early innovator in primary care. Before that, he helped start the Atlantic City Special Care Center, serving the most complex and costly patients from the Local 54 Hotel Workers Union with the Atlantic Care Health System. Dr. Neil, welcome, and thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Cheryl.
Absolutely. So Dr. Neil, you are joining me to discuss how Patina is reinventing primary care for older adults. We'll discuss what older adults should expect from primary care, how Patina delivers that in new and innovative ways, and the role technology plays in delivering high-quality care to older adults. To get us started, though, can you share what inspired you to want to work with older adults?
Sure. So I've been a physician for about 2 decades. I was drawn to medicine and was really drawn to serve folks who didn't have as much access to care. So very early in my career, I chose to practice in cities and parts of cities like South Boston, where I knew folks had more need than there was help. I practice globally in places like Lesotho, Africa, and India, and South America, learning as much about medicine, as broad a base of medicine as I could, to work in rural places and urban hospitals and things like that. And then, you know, as my life progressed and I had a family and settled more in New Jersey, where I was born and raised, I began to realize that this idea of being underserved is sort of present for most people. And professionally, I began to really be inspired by older adults who, you know, these days, very often, more often than not, are covered by Medicare and have insurance and have hospital systems and have Medicare Advantage plans with you know, different services. So what I found both from my practice as well as my family, my uncles and aunts, my parents, that many older adults have access, but are sort of drowning in a sea of services. So they're still just as underserved as somebody who doesn't have a clinic to go to or doesn't have an insurance card in their purse, but in a different way. So I shifted my focus professionally to serving adults who are 65 and older, and I'm just having a great time. It's a fascinating phase of life to begin and travel through, and it's really just an honor to be an accompanier to folks as they retire, as they age, and as they, you know, live their best lives in that phase.
So how is the team at Patina reinventing primary care for older adults?
You know, Patina is a new practice and a new company, and one of the great advantages of starting over is we get to decide, what are we about? What's the design principle? And for us, it's relationships. Patina starts with relationships. We want to get to know each patient and their goals, their values, and their preferences. we want to get to know their loved ones and bring them in, because as we all operate in a society and with families, and we have children and godchildren and neighbors and friends who we live with, right? So we want to really just think about that relationship as the core job of primary care. And everything else will come from that, right? The prescriptions, the treatments, the, you know, recommendations for specialists or surgeries, all of that needs to come out of a real relationship. We talk about reinvention, but it's interesting in 2023 that a guy like me can take credit for reinvention when really we're talking about something that's old-fashioned, right? That maybe predates medicine. This idea that healing comes out of relationships isn't something that we've invented. We won't take credit for that, but perhaps has gotten lost as medicine got more complicated and needs to be rediscovered. Perhaps has gotten lost as we've shifted to high technology medicine, and this idea that there's so much knowledge in medicine now, it sort of almost distracted us from what was most important always. Patina, I feel like we've sort of found our way back to that. And because we're starting over, we can make sure everything we do is rooted in that strong healing relationship with the patient and their loved ones.
So there's the care that older adults should be receiving. And then there's the care they actually receive oftentimes in the current healthcare system. Can you address the disparity often experienced between the two?
Sure. And, you know, I'll start by saying it's just an honor to be part of a healthcare industry. And I think many of us have friends or family who are nurses or medical assistants or techs, maybe physicians. Each of us who entered healthcare had other options. There may be an easier way to make a living. It's hard work, healthcare. We're also, a lot of us have to go to school and we have to pass tests and exams. So we're hardworking and we're smart. So we have a group of people who are sort of kinder than average, harder working than maybe average, often are chosen because of their academic abilities and they're smart and they're able to like sort of retain information. So we have an incredible workforce of people in healthcare, but at the same time, we fail ourselves, right? We haven't built the system of care that we deserve or that we want for our parents always. There's a lot of harm that comes out of the system. There's a lot of waste that comes out of the system. And really, there's a lot of indignity sometimes that comes out of our system. And so, you know, as being a member of that industry and a representative of it, I've had to sort of really look in the mirror and say, well, how is it possible that we're, you know, really selective in who we allow to become healthcare providers? We're really smart. We're really hardworking. We have a lot of heart, but here we are, we're not living up to what we ourselves want for ourselves or our family members. And I think it has to do with how the current healthcare system is really built around people like me. So you think of the office. The office is a really great place for me because I can have a waiting room. I can have multiple exam rooms. When I go from room two to room three to room four, it takes me a few seconds and I can see patients faster. I can have my computer there, right? With a nice keyboard. It's not really built for the patient. And I think that's, we have to acknowledge that. Patina, again, I'll keep saying, because we've been able to start over and we decided from the very foundation that the relationship is most important, we were able to rethink some things from a relationship perspective, from a patient and loved one perspective. And so we're able to take a whole person approach and think about our patients as having both, you know, mind, body, and spirit, and unique needs and preferences that we need to address. We had the chance to think about older adults specifically. So Patina is a practice where in order to be a patient of ours, you need to be 65 and older. So we're a little bit specialized in older adults. And so we have the knowledge and the understanding, we're able to hire people who understand the physical changes that happen to the human body, the psychological changes that happen to the human mind, the social changes that happen to the sort of human society as we go through, you know, a retirement, or as we age further and maybe are finding ourselves unable to drive, simple things like that, really important. So we understand those things and are able to bring to our patients sort of that context, so we're not sort of phased. We can help people to understand what's happening and build a care plan to address their needs as they change. Everyone deserves that. And when you do that, we can put patients in the driver's seat. Not just any patients, patients who have 65, 75, 85, 95 years of experience, of wisdom. So they deserve to be in that driver's seat. Sometimes not being a doctor, not understanding all this stuff makes us feel like we're in the passenger seat or the third row of the minivan way in the back, but we can just sort of move people up and say, hey, I'm just here to give you some information, but really the choice is yours and I'll be your guide. And we can do that with a team. So we've got a wonderful team of folks at Patina. It's another thing that makes us a little bit different. We've got, of course, primary care practitioners who understand medicine and medicine for the adult over 65, but we've got, for instance, a health champion. This is for each patient, a personal health champion. That's their go-to resource, can answer questions, can help with appointments, can be your advocate, can help hold yourself accountable for a exercise goal if you have one. Think of your health champion as if your son's best friend worked in the doctor's office and you could just sort of text her whenever you needed something. That's your champion. You don't have to deal with being on hold. You don't have to deal with all the red tape because you know somebody. Everyone deserves that. And so we've created a job called the health champion that can sort of help you to get what you need from us and from the whole system. All of that, remember, because the relationship is most important, why not have a health champion whose job it is to make sure the relationship is really healthy, productive, and fruitful?
I love that idea of a health champion. Just from my own experience dealing with healthcare, sometimes the most frustrating part can be getting the right person on the phone to help me with something that I really might not need to talk to the doctor about. I might just need an appointment. I might need my prescription sent to a different place. So it would be so nice to be able to have someone that I knew I could go to. So that just must be so helpful to all of the older adults that participate in your practice.
Yeah, really helpful in big ways and small. So, you know, just as a for instance, you know, we've every day we have patients who saw a specialist in the last few days or the last week or so. And our health champions can make sure that we know that that visit happened. They can make sure the records get requested so we can understand what happened. And they can return that information back to the patient or their loved ones to say, hey, you know, this is the report we got from your cardiologist, from your dermatologist. You know, simple steps that if there's not somebody looking out for you, it's not clear that that's going to happen. I'll give you one more example that's a little bit, you know, a little more out of the box, I suppose. We saw a patient a little while ago who had recently moved to, I believe, like sort of maybe Western Montgomery County from somewhere out west. It might have been California. I'm not remembering exactly where this couple had come from. Moved to Pennsylvania, moved to the Philadelphia area. The patient at the moment was the husband of this couple. And because we took the time to ask what matters most to you, because we were patient and listened, he opened up not just about his health, but the health of his wife and some of the chronic illness that she was going through and how she had developed panic attacks recently and how he was really afraid to leave her alone. He was new to town and struggling because he was afraid to go out for more than an hour. You know, what if she has a chronic health issue while I'm gone? What if she has a panic attack while I'm gone? What if she can't tell the difference between one and the other? And, you know, he didn't use this word, but it almost felt like he was feeling trapped, you know, in his own home, having moved. And so we made a simple plan. You know, he knew there was a card game at a local senior center. He wasn't sure how far it was. He told us that, hey, if it's within 5 or 10 minutes, I think it is, then I can imagine, you know, finding some help and being able to go and like having like some social release once a week, you know, to do this. But I'm not sure how far it is. I'm not sure what the traffic looks like. I'm still new to town. And we made a simple plan, which was sometime in the next week, drive to the card game, whether it's a card game or not, time it, drive back, time it, and just start to make a plan. Is this realistic for you? He said, sure, I can do that. Now, here's the key. Having made that little plan, his health champion was, with his permission, was willing to hold him accountable. And so the plan was, hey, can your health champion call you in a week to see if you met this goal? He said, sure. And the trick is, you know, for me, I'll make a goal for myself and I'll disappoint myself, let myself down any day of the week, you know, whether it's a change in my diet or an exercise plan or something that I want to do for myself. But if someone else who I know cares about me is going to hold me accountable, I don't want to disappoint that person, right? And so our patient was able to do it. It was a simple task, but it set him one important step forward towards taking care of himself. And the difference was really that he knew that his health champion cared enough to call in a week or to send a text message in a week to say, hey, were you able to do that thing? And he knew that he'd have a response of kindness. If he didn't, so okay, that's fine. How can we help you problem solve? And if you did it, congratulations, what's next, right? So these little steps are medicine. It's the best medicine. It's not a prescription, it's not a surgery, but it really makes a difference in our lives if we can sort of have a medical practice that helps us to be leaders in our care, to make the small changes we need so that we can live better lives.
Would you prefer to age independently in your own home or live in a nursing facility? I know what I'd rather do. Friends Life Care membership offers just that. Plan today for a future lived at home with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience while protecting your savings. Learn about your options at a free seminar or webinar. Register at friendslifecare.org/register or call 215-628-8964. And that's such a critical point that you bring up. Accountability is key. I couldn't agree with you more. So you gave such a beautiful example for my next question. And I'm wondering if there might be even more opportunity to expand on the topic of why is primary care so important at this later stage of life? And what should people expect from their primary care provider?
Primary care is important at every stage of life, but boy, it's so much more important as we get older. We have to navigate ourselves, all the changes that are happening to our bodies. We have to navigate ourselves, the changes that are happening into our families, into our communities, our careers, our income. All of this is hard change, but it all sort of comes quickly, doesn't it, when we turn 65? Just the way we've set up our society. As soon as we retire, often we're moving, often there's income changes, often they have to make an insurance decision, right? So many changes happening at once, and it's all very confusing. It's not really designed for regular people to make, regular choices. Older adults often are taking more medications. It's not uncommon that we have a patient who comes to us and they're showing us 5, 10, 15, 20, sometimes, bottles from sometimes from 5 different physicians filled at 2 different pharmacies. It's confusing. Often as we get older, we're dealing with chronic illnesses, and often we're controlling them and are living well, but we're living with hypertension. We're living with maybe some asthma that maybe gets worse. We're living with aches and pains and arthritis. We're living with things that maybe can get better, and we're living with things that maybe aren't going to get better. And we have to know the difference. We have to adapt. All of this is a lot for any of us to handle. Primary care can function as your partner. Primary care can help you to sort out the complexity, sort out the mess and put it in order, help you to take care of your own health, make sure your needs are met, make sure that your care plan matches your own values and preferences. For many of our patients, those values and preferences include living independently at home. So primary care is in a great position to help you to live independently at home. We have the advantage of being able to look into the future a little bit. Part of that 20 years of experience for me is many, many patients who've gone all down different paths, and I can sort of help my patients to understand, well, here are the ways that you can stay independent at home. Here are the things that put you at risk, and here's how you might be able to reduce that risk. Here are the things, here are all your options. When I've built trust on that relationship that I started with, the response I get is the real value. Patients will say, okay, of all those things, here are the things that I'm most worried about. Here are the treatment plans that most match what I'd like to do. And then we can start to put a plan together. Small changes, a little bit at a time. We can deprescribe drugs that make people feel dizzy or tired. We can deprescribe specialists sometimes that are just burdensome. I'm seeing too many doctors all the time. I'm not able to spend my retirement. We hear from patients all the time, man, I turned 65. I'm busier than I was when I had a career. We hear that all the time. I've got so many activities. I've got new friends. I've got travel I'm doing. I don't know how I could possibly see all these different doctors and manage all this stuff. And so we can simplify sometimes for people, so long as that's their goal, so long as that's their preference. And really the difference is we're here to listen and understand what those goals are and help craft a plan. That's our job as primary care.
Is there any advice about primary care you'd like to specifically share with older adults who are aging alone?
Yeah, I think my advice for folks is to remember that they deserve more and they deserve better. Be choosy, be a leader. That's important advice to give, because I think when the same person, you know, if I'm out there looking to buy a new car, I'm in control. I might do some research. I might ask my friends. I deserve a heated steering wheel. So, you know, I want to make sure that there's a touchscreen that's a little bit bigger, because I don't like to try to touch the tiny letters. I think about these things, right? And I know that I might have to test drive one or two cars, and like the one that feels right, maybe I'll spend a little more money because it feels good, or maybe I'll save some money because they're all the same to me, right? But that same person, when I'm going to get care, sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm in control because I'm sick, because I'm vulnerable. Now we're talking about my body. Now we're talking about things I don't understand. I can't pronounce the names of half of these medications, let alone choose which ones I want to take. So my first piece of advice is to remind people that despite the complexity, you deserve to feel in control. So take it. What does that mean? That means think about what matters most. Start with your own inventory. Before you ask for advice, before you look for a new doctor, before you shop around, start with yourself. Well, what matters most to you, right? Think about your friends and family. Think about how different you are. You have a twin brother who values different things than you do. But what are those differences? What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? What parts of your care are really helping you? What parts of your care feel like a burden? And I'm not sure they're helping me. Do that inventory and then use that as a basis to lead your own care. Bring that information to your primary care. See how they react. Are they interested and excited that you've done that work? Are they willing to listen? Are they too busy to listen? They may be a kind person. Are you unable to get an appointment, or are you getting appointments really easily? Are you able to get a telemedicine appointment so you don't have to park, drive, wait, maybe get coughed on in a waiting room if you prefer, or are you being asked to wait 3 months and that kind of thing? And if it's not matching where you want to go, now that you're the leader, you deserve better. Find something better. That's my advice, that don't just settle, because, you know, healthcare is changing. And I think when we're pushed by our patients, we do better work. And so I encourage patients to push us to do better.
And it also sounds like you are encouraging your patients to ask questions and be their own self-advocate. And if they don't understand something, that's okay. Ask, and your team will try to explain it in a different way where the patient can understand and can make those informed decisions you're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I want to recognize and honor that, you know, a lot of patients have had bad experiences doing exactly what I'm describing, where they've come in and they've been sort of discouraged, or they've been told, listen, I don't need you to do the research. I'm a doctor. I've done the research already. Or, you know, as they're asking questions, you know, someone's looking at the clock or looking at their wristwatch. These things don't make us feel dignified. They don't make us feel like we're leaders in our care. I understand that that's the case a lot. I know that the vast majority of the doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners out there want better as well. So I'm encouraging people to find that setting that matches their needs. Patina is a place where we try to be patient, to be good listeners, to make time for people. I know there's other practices out there that are doing this. This is old-fashioned medicine. My word of encouragement to patients is expect more and expect to find that practice. It's worth it. It's worth searching. It's worth trying.
Can you talk about the role of technology in delivering high-quality care to older adults?
Yeah. You know, I believe that most people want to take good care of themselves. They want to feel better. They want to nip things in the bud. They want to know when they start coughing, whether this is the kind of cough that they can ignore and it'll get better, or could this be something more serious? So why is it so often, both in my case too, as well as my patients, that we delay care, that we don't always seek care right away? There's different barriers, right? So for each individual, when you've done that work of thinking about what are my values, what are my preferences, I think we can understand for ourselves what are our barriers. For a lot of patients, the hassle of getting an appointment, transportation to an office, waiting can be a big barrier. There are folks who are just too busy for that. You know, they're fully able, they're physically able, they're traveling, but, you know, by the time I take time out to call, and then the appointment's not going to be for weeks or months, and then I have to sort of block a whole day because, you know, I don't know how long I'll be sitting and waiting in the waiting room. Sometimes that hassle just keeps us from doing the thing we need to do and taking care of ourselves. And technology can help to avoid that hassle, right? So for instance, what I found in telemedicine is that it's sometimes even more personal than being in an office, ironically. When COVID hit and a lot of us in medicine suddenly had to do a lot more video visits, things like that, you know, I thought it was going to be a big compromise. And what I learned was how personal it felt. And I think it was because whereas before I might have seen my patient for every 3 months, before I really tried to spend time with my patient. So maybe even if it was a shorter visit, I would take 10 more minutes, I'd make other people wait and expand the time that I had. What I found is over telemedicine, I was seeing my patients more often because it's easy to have a 10-minute conversation. Well, how did that go? Let's not wait 3 months to find out that the treatment I prescribed last week is making your stomach upset, right? If you had to call, make an appointment, park, wait, and have a visit, you might not feel the need to tell me, hey doc, you gave me a medicine, but it's making my stomach queasy, right? But if we can do a quick video visit or a text message, it takes only seconds. It makes my job easier and it makes your care better. So technology can be that device to make healthcare easier to access. I think back to the horse and buggy days when country doctors would visit patients in the home. And I think about how that horse and buggy allowed them to see more patients and be more present and have a stronger relationship. Whereas before the buggy, they might've had to walk, right? So similarly, our smartphones, our messaging apps, this video call that you and I are having together is that horse and buggy of 2023. It allows us to be in each other's homes and enjoy each other's relationship and company in a trusted way much more easily. And you know, the truth is that people have a stereotype and we like to think that adults over 65 don't know how to use technology and they don't want to get on video. And the truth is we're using video to stay in touch with our grandkids. The truth is we're shopping online already. We're streaming our videos online. We're not going to the video store, right? So what we've found is that as long as the technology is simple and easy to use, that our patients love it and it helps us to be closer to each other than if we had to visit each other in an office only.
And you're helping me reflect on the telemed appointments that I've had most recently. And I think a reason I feel so comfortable on those appointments is I'm in my own home. I'm in my comfort zone. I am going to feel better and more comfortable and ask my questions. And that's all clicking for me right now. So I just so appreciate you helping me put that together.
Sure. And you know, I have to say that as much as I love technology, I love that you and I are able to meet the way we're meeting right now. It's not always enough in medicine. You know, there's a role for hands-on care. There's a role for, you know, listening to the lungs and listening to the heart. And so we do at Patina, we think it's important to balance those two things together. So a lot of our care is through video visits, through conversation, through planning. But a lot of our visits are directly in the home. So rather than having our patients come to us, we send a nurse with a medical bag, you know, parked in front of the house. We use some, you know, low-tech devices like stethoscopes, where even if the primary care practitioner is over here, the nurse can put the stethoscope on the patient over there and we can all listen together. So we've found ways that we can be as accessible and as easy, as relationship focused as we know that we want to be, while using technology to make it sort of easier. We don't want to make compromises. So when you need an exam, you deserve an exam. Right. And so, you know, pure telemedicine might not be enough for every problem that our patients experience. So we do come to the home. And I think that's really important.
Dr. Neil, in closing, what recommendations might you have for staying healthy and independent as we age?
Yeah, what a great question. So many of my patients, so many of my family members want to stay healthy and be independent as we age. So what recommendations do I have? You know, I've got hundreds of recommendations. I've got entire textbooks filled with recommendations, all kinds of advice out there. I might give a little different answer though, which is that the best advice that I've ever heard for any patient has come from that patient. There's no better expert in you than you. Our patients, as a doctor, I know my patients know they live in their bodies. They've lived in their minds. They've operated their spirits for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 decades. And so the way I would offer a recommendation would be to say, hey, what matters most to you? What's one thing you can do to make your health better, to lead to a more independent life in the next few days. I'll be more clear. I always ask in the next few days, because I think if we think about the next few years, we can get a lot done in a few years, but only if we start in the next few days, right? I ask for something specific because it doesn't always pop in people's minds. But I think if you think to yourself, I want to walk more, but let's see, I want to walk in the morning before it gets hot. I think I'm going to walk on Tuesdays and Thursdays because Wednesdays I have my bridge game, right? Get specific. And then last, take advantage of your team, your community. Ask someone else who you know cares about you to hold you accountable. Ask your neighbor and say, hey, I made a plan. I'm going to walk around the block. I'm going to do it on Tuesday. I'm going to do it on Thursday. I'm going to do it early before it gets hot. Do you mind asking me on Friday if I pulled it off? Because I know I'm more likely to do it if I know you're rooting for me and I know you're holding me accountable. For one patient, it might be an exercise plan. For another, it might be a plan around prayer or meditation to liven the spirit. For someone else, it might be something about diet. Your audience, me, all of us, we know what we can do to be healthier. The real trick is not getting a good recommendation, it's actually doing it. So my recommendation is to think about something simple, make it specific and achievable in the next few days, and ask someone to hold you accountable and do it. That's my advice.
Dr. Neil, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all the innovative ways that you and Patina are reinventing primary care for older adults.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a unique program focused on aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience.
Thank you to Dr. Neil Patel for joining us today. You can learn about Dr. Neil and Patina by visiting patinahealth.com, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. Links to all these resources can be found in the show notes. If you like our show, please rate, review, subscribe, and join us next time. To learn more about aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience, subscribe to our blog at friendslifecare.org/blog.